Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Allegra, Dorit Bat Sara, and Shifra Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Neinkin, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, we're going to discuss the death of the self-hating Judenrat capo, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Yimach Shma V'Zichra Shem Reshaim Yirkav, which means, may her name and memory be obliterated, may the name of the wicked rot, which is the worst Jewish curse you could put on somebody. And it's a curse that goes on dead people too, because dead people suffer judgment after their death if they were evil. And she was the epitome of evil. And yes, Jews rejoice when evil people, including evil self-hating Jews, die. Jews are required to rejoice, and it's wonderful news that that evil beast died on Rosh Hashanah, on the Jewish New Year. That was wonderful news for the Jewish people. Hashem gave us a gift on Rosh Hashanah, on the Jewish New Year. And for those who say, but you can't rejoice over the death of people, you can't do that, and especially of your fellow Jews. How ignorant people are. And some of them are willfully ignorant, because we even have so-called rabbis that say this, and so-called Orthodox Jews that repeat this nonsense, this garbage. How willfully ignorant some people are of what Judaism commands. Yes, it does say, turn the other cheek and love thy enemy in the Bible, but that's the Christian Bible, not the Jewish Bible. That's not Judaism. Christians, hypocritically, in their Bible say, love thy enemy and turn the other cheek. And meanwhile, they murdered more people. Christian Europe murdered more people by far than everyone else in the world put together, than everyone else in the world combined. I mean, no one was as bloody or murderous or brutal as Christian Europe historically in the context of history. Despite they're talking about love, 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 it's all such hypocrisy. And it proves also how false the religion is. But Judaism does not say that. Judaism is a religion that demands justice, that demands truth and righteousness. Yes, Judaism is a religion of love, but it's also a religion of truth and justice and righteousness. We don't love Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and Yasser Arafat and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We don't love evil, monstrous people who do terrible things to their fellow human beings. We love their victims, and we care for their victims. We care about innocent people, and decent people, and even people who may not be that righteous because they don't know any better. We love them, them we care about. But the evil people, and there are lots of evil people in this world and lots of evil people throughout history, they do not deserve any love. If you show mercy to the cruel, in the end you'll be cruel to the merciful, the rabbis, Chazal, the rabbis, warned us. And you see that with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her horrific history. Look how she was merciless toward Jonathan Pollard, the Jewish hero, and the American hero, Jonathan Pollard, who gave information to Israel that the United States was required to share with Israel under the agreements that the United States had signed with Israel, but the United States violated those agreements, so Pollard passed that information on to Israel, and Israel used the information to fight against America's enemies as well, because the information was used against Arab terrorists and Arab mass murderers and Arab dictators that are just as anti-American as they are anti-Israel. So the information that Pollard got was good for America. What he did was good for America and good for Israel. And in many ways, even better for America than for Israel. What an injustice, what a horrific injustice that he had to sit in prison for over 30 years for sharing information that Israel should have gotten anyway. Information that Israel used to make this world a safer and better place for America, for Israel, for the Western world. What a disgrace. He should have been given a medal, Jonathan Pollard. And Caspar Weinberger and the traitors that did what they did to Pollard, they're the ones that should have been put in prison for over 30 years. And believe me, they're right now, they're in a very bad place because they're dead now, thank God. They're in a very bad place. And Pollard's evil prosecutor and all the other evil people that are still alive, they're going to join them eventually, and they're going to pay a very heavy price for the terrible injustice they did to Jonathan Pollard, an American hero and a Jewish hero. But let's understand what Judaism stands for, because we have so many distortions of Judaism from these self-hating Jews and from rabbis who are gutless wonders, spineless people that don't want to tell the truth the way the great rabbis of the Talmud did. The great Chazal, the great rabbis of the Talmud, were heroes. They told the truth. They stood for the truth. And in many cases, they paid with their lives for telling the truth and standing for truth and righteousness and justice. But the so-called rabbis of this generation, most of them are just, it's farcical, really, unfortunately. Torah Jews pray three times a day for the violent death of their enemies. The prayer is called Velamal Shenim. To the informers, may there be no hope. Three times in the Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei are the 18 prayers, the 18 requests that Jews make. It's really 19 requests because of this extra request that was later added on. But three times a day, Torah Jews pray for the violent death of self-hating Jewish traitors, of their enemies, the self-hating Jewish traitors. Now, of course, their Gentile enemies, they also pray for the death of their Gentile enemies. But for the self-hating Jewish enemies, the self-hating Jewish enemies, the enemy from within, is worse than the external enemy, does more harm than an external enemy. An enemy from within is more dangerous than an external enemy and more guilty, because they certainly should know better. And this beast, this ugly, dirty, nasty beast, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Yimach Shma V'Zichra, who grew up in Brooklyn, and her grandchildren call her Booby, this filthy pig, what she did to Pollard. We're going to discuss the Pollard case more in a moment, but first I want to run through some of the examples of what Judaism tells you you're supposed to do when your enemies die, or what our attitude is supposed to be toward our enemies, including self-hating Jews, including people like Henry Kissinger and the assimilated, intermarried, self-hating, informing, rotten Jews that form the majority of American Jewry today. They're not our brothers and sisters. If they're self-hating traitors, they're not our brothers and sisters. They're our enemies. Only those that have some loyalty or some connection to the Jewish people and still display connection and loyalty to the Jewish people and have some morals, they are our brothers and sisters. But monsters that are embarrassed and ashamed to be Jewish and want to destroy their fellow Jews because they're so ashamed and embarrassed to be Jewish and they're so anxious to prove to the Goyim that they're not loyal to Israel and they're not loyal to the Jewish people and they want to be just, we're just human beings, we're not Jews, we're human beings. Those filthy pigs deserve nothing but contempt and hate, and we should pray for their destruction, and we're required to pray for their destruction three times a day. By the way, that's three times a day during weekdays, on Shabbat, on Shabbatot. On Sabbaths, on the Sabbath, we pray for their destruction four times a day. And on Yom Kippur, we pray for their destruction five times a day, because there are three daily prayers for Orthodox Jews during the regular days. On Shabbat, four daily prayers. And on Yom Kippur, just one time a year, on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement for the Jews. Five times, we pray five times on Yom Kippur, on the Day of Atonement. And yes, we pray for that Hashem should break them and destroy them and smash them. I mean, we pray for their destruction, literally. Why don't The Jews would say, you can't say that about your fellow Jews. They should take that out of the daily prayers then. Why do they pray? Why do they put that in and keep it in the daily prayers? Remove it from the daily prayers if you don't like it. The deformed and the conserved and the reconstructed, they probably do remove it from the daily prayer. I don't know what they do. But the Orthodox and the people claim to be Orthodox, and yeah, what Rabbi Meir Kahana, our blessed leader, Zecher Tzaddik VeKadosh Livracha, may the memory of this blessed saint live eternally. Hashem Yikom Damo, may God avenge his blood. Our blessed Rabbi Meir Kahana used to call them Orthodox atheists. And it's not that there are, of course, Orthodox Jews who are good Jews. There are. But a lot of Orthodox Jews, they're so practical, and they're so pragmatic, and they're so... it's a farce. On Chanukah, the holiday that the assimilated Jews used to celebrate because it was close to Xmas and they wanted to have something close to Xmas. Now the assimilated Jews celebrate Xmas too, which is a terrible sin, that's like idolatry to celebrate that. And the whole concept of Xmas is based on idolatry. It was the German pagans. It was German pagan gods, and they worshipped the tree, and they worshipped the pagan gods. That's what Xmas is based on. But anyway, Chanukah, which is a beautiful, magnificent holiday, where the Jews, against all odds, miraculously liberated the land from the Greek Hellenists, who outnumbered them, in huge numbers. They were overwhelmingly outnumbered. Unbelievable victory. And from their self-hating Jewish, and from the self-hating Jewish Hellenists, because most of the Jews adopted the idolatrous, perverted, evil Greek culture of those days, the Hellenistic culture of those days. Most of the Jews adopted it. And so on Chanukah, the first thing the Maccabees had to do was fight against the fellow self-hating Jews, their fellow Jews who were self-haters, who were supporting the Greeks that were doing terrible things to the Jewish people, that were in effect outlawing Judaism and raping Jewish women and murdering Jews who wanted to practice their faith. On Chanukah, we celebrate a victory over the self-hating Jewish Hellenists, which included slaughtering thousands of self-hating Jewish Hellenists. The Maccabees slaughtered thousands of self-hating Jewish Hellenists. Jews, our fellow Jews. Thousands were slaughtered by the heroic Jewish Maccabees. What do Jews know about that now? The only thing they know about Maccabees is that it's a team. It's a soccer team now in Israel. On Purim, which is maybe the most joyous of all Jewish holidays, on Purim, the Jews celebrate the death of Haman, his son, and over 70,000 of his Nazi supporters. So that shows that we also celebrate the death of our Gentile enemies. Haman was a Nazi who wanted to exterminate the entire Jewish people. And he and over 70,000 of his supporters, including his sons, were killed by the Jews. The Jews went out and killed them. They killed them for threatening to destroy the Jewish people and conspiring and wanting to destroy the Jewish people. They went out, the Jews, and killed them. That's the story of Purim. And we celebrate that. And we are overjoyed. And we drink. We drink liquor on Purim to celebrate it. And we're required to be very happy. We're required to celebrate and be joyous over the deaths of our enemies. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, the greatest human being ever to live. The giver of the Torah. The greatest prophet ever. Greatest prophet ever to live. Moshe Rabbeinu orders the Levites to kill 3,000 of the idol-worshipping Israelites who were worshipping the golden calf. Chet ha-egel, the sin of the golden calf. 3,000 worshippers of the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu gave them a chance when he came down from Har Sinai. He gave the Jews a chance to repent, and he says, "Those who repent will go to this side, and if you don't, and these 3,000 stubbornly refused, and they wanted to continue to worship idols. They wanted to continue to worship the golden calf. Golden calf wasn't literally; they didn't literally worship it as the Jews weren't literally worshiping it as a god. Most of the rabbis say, but they wanted to worship God through the golden calf, which is also absolutely forbidden. You're not allowed to use images, physical images, to worship God. So 3,000 of them refused. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He ordered Halevi'im, the Levites, tribe of the Levites, to take out their swords and kill the 3,000 evil, sinful, idolatrous people. Kill them. And they did. And if anybody says, yeah, but they weren't Jews, they were the Erev Rav. They were converts, even if they were Erev Rav, they were converts to Judaism, and a convert to Judaism is as Jewish as any Jew. Convert to Judaism is just as Jewish as any Jew and has the same rights and obligations as a Jew does. And they certainly were, even if they were Erev Rav, they were certainly halachically Jewish. Even if they were Erev Rav, they were halachically Jewish because they were converted, because they went through the process of giur, of conversion. And who converted them? Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses. Moses converted them, so their conversion was certainly halachically valid. So these were 3,000 Jews that were killed because they insisted upon worshiping idols. So, and I could go on and on in citing so many other examples of how Jews are required to kill their enemies, destroy their enemies, hate their enemies, and fight for righteousness. Just read Sefer Tehillim. Just read Tehillim. Tehillim are the Psalms of David. And he didn't write all of them, but he wrote many of them, and there were various authors, but many of them were written by him, and so they're known as the Psalms of David, of David HaMelech, of King David. Read Tehillim. Read what it says about our enemies. Read what David HaMelech, King David, the Messiah, is going to come from him. Read what it says, what he prays for prophetically, because the Psalms were all written when David HaMelech was prophetically writing. This was all prophetic. This is all part of prophecy, the Psalms. And read what he says about our enemies, about what we should be doing to our enemies. So real Jews are joyous when their enemies are killed or die. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the worst type of enemy. Someone who reaches the heights of power, one of the 9 Supreme Court justices in the United States. And I'm against having Jewish judges. Jews are not supposed to serve on the Supreme Court. Jews are not supposed to be judges. Jews are not supposed to be in America or outside of Israel at all. We have a Jewish state. That's where we belong. And for us to become part of America and say, we're Americans and we're, you're not allowed. It is not allowed. Jews are supposed to be in the land of Israel. They don't belong in America. But of course, this beast, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she doesn't give a damn about Israel. She already proved that she would destroy Israel in 2 seconds just to show her left-wing friends, her left-wing Hollywood and media friends, how progressive she is. What an ugly beast she was, too. What an ugly woman. Just ugly. Some of these people are ugly on the inside and ugly on the outside. Just disgusting, a nasty-looking beast. Anyway, in the Jonathan Pollard case, here's what happened. A black, Jew-hating Nazi judge named Robinson, a black Jew-hating judge, because the Jews pushed so hard that blacks should be appointed and blacks should have rights, and black, they fought for blacks, black. This is what they fought for so many years. They never did for 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. They did nothing. Nothing to save the Jews during the Holocaust. Nothing to save Soviet Jewry except for the JDL and Rabbi Meir Kahana and his followers. The rest of American Jewry did nothing for Soviet Jewry, did nothing to save the 6 million during the Holocaust. Nothing. And if for Soviet Jewry, eventually there were demonstrations and protests, but that was because the JDL pushed. And we've done shows on this. You can see the shows. You can see the shows here. You can find the programs we've done proving where they themselves admit that the action they took was because of the JDL, because of the pressure from the JDL and the JDL campaign to free Soviet Jews. But in any event, for their fellow Jews, never did anything. But the same American Jews who did nothing for their fellow Jews, for their enemies, black Jew haters who are their enemies, who are the most vicious, jealous, nasty, ignorant people, for their enemies who detest them, who murder Jews, and who despise the Jewish people and are burning with jealousy against the Jewish people. For them, Jews gave their lives. Schwerner and Goodman gave their lives. Schwerner and Goodman were killed fighting for the rights of blacks to vote in Mississippi. As if blacks voting in Mississippi is a good thing. It's a bad thing for Jews when blacks vote in Mississippi or blacks vote anywhere, because they vote for people who want to destroy the Jewish people, who want to destroy Israel. But that, Schwerner and Goodman, they didn't give a damn about Israel. And the other Jews who fought in the civil rights movement, they weren't concerned about Israel. Here's what happened in the Jonathan Pollard case. This black Jew-hating judge gives Jonathan Pollard a sentence of life imprisonment with a recommendation that he never receive parole. A judicial recommendation of no parole. In other words, life without parole, in effect, is what that's what the judge recommended, and it was a life sentence. And Edwina Koch, who was the mayor of New York, another self-hating Jewish piece of filth, who's now buried in a church. I mean, these low people who used to run around, a queer who used to run around New York in a dress saying, "How am I doing? How am I doing?" Who used to wear dresses. And he was the mayor of was the mayor of New York for 12 years. What a disgrace. He wrote a letter, it wrote a letter to Judge Robertson, urging him to give Pollard the maximum sentence. And of course, Caspar Weinberger, he wrote a letter trying to get Pollard the maximum sentence. And they really railroaded Pollard. They promised him a lenient sentence. They promised him all types of things. The prosecutor was a lowlife. His name was Genua. I think his name was Genua. A lowlife, filthy animal. May he die of cancer also, just like Ginsburg did, except a lot sooner than she did. She made it 87 years. She lived 87 years too long. May he die of cancer a lot sooner. Yimach Shmo v'zichro, the prosecutor in the case. Anyway, so they broke all their agreements with Pollard. They promised Pollard lenient sentence. They promised him all types of things. Broke every agreement with him. Violated his rights left and right. Just completely violated his rights. And he appeals. And he should have won the appeal in 2 seconds. It was such an obvious miscarriage of justice. He appeals, and they go before the Washington, D.C. Circuit Court, the Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C. And they get 3 judges. A Gentile judge, I think the Gentile judge's name, I don't have it in front of me, I think the Gentile judge's name was Stevens. He was a decent guy who said that this was a gross miscarriage of justice and Pollard should and Pollard should be resentenced and it's outrageous. You know, he was on Pollard's side, the Gentile judge. But 2 out of the 3 judges were Jews, were Pollard's fellow Jews. Ginsburg, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and Lauren Silberman, Yimach Shmo v'zichro, another self-hating piece of Judenrat filth. And the 2 Jews ruled against Pollard. The 2 Jews ruled against Pollard, and the Gentile ruled in his favor. Look at this upside-down world we live in. The Gentile recognize what an incredible miscarriage. By the way, the two Jews acknowledged that Pollard's rights were violated, but they said on technical grounds he didn't file this in time, or he didn't, some technicality. They let him do over 30 years in prison, a life sentence under the worst conditions, on a technicality, on some technical reason. They allowed this miscarriage of justice to go forward on a technicality. Well, imagine a black defendant. Would Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that filthy pig, and Lawrence Silberman, the other pig, would these two Jewish self-hating pigs, would they have allowed a black defendant to sit over 30 years in prison because of some technicality, because some legal technicality, even if he was railroaded, even if something wrong was done to him, even if it was an injustice, even if promises were made that were violated and broken? Would they allow a miscarriage of justice like this to go forward if it was a black defendant or an Arab defendant or a Muslim defendant or some enemy of the Jewish people? Never in a million years. They wouldn't let him sit 30 years in prison. They wouldn't let a black guy sit 30 seconds in prison under these circumstances. But Pollard, they ruled against because of a technicality. What subhuman scum. I'm so happy that she is now suffering. I have no doubt that Hashem, that God, the God of the universe, the God of justice, is making this evil beast suffer. And by the way, it's not just the Pollard case, okay? She was a nasty feminist and a socialist and a supporter of all the enemies of the Jewish people and a supporter of abortion. And yes, abortion is murdering babies. She was a supporter of baby killing, which is against the Torah. On every issue, she was bad. On every issue, she was wrong. On every issue, she was an evil beast. Thank God she's gone. And all the self-hating Jews should join her. They should all join her. But we're going to lose our fellow Jews. They're no asset. They're a liability to the Jewish people. They're our enemies. They're the fifth column. They're the enemy from within. Now, Trump has nominated, apparently, they say he's going to nominate. I mean, I'm doing this program on Friday afternoon. They say that he's going to nominate Amy Coney Barrett, who's a 48-year-old white Catholic judge, and who appears to be a conservative. I hope she's a real conservative, because the so-called conservatives that Trump nominated, the other Republican judges, are a joke. Our clowns are a joke. They're not real conservatives in any way. Real conservatives would never allow affirmative action, would never allow the government to deliberately discriminate in favor of blacks and other minorities just because of the color of their skin. That is real. That's institutionalized racism. There is institutionalized racism in this country, and it's against whites, and it's against Asians, and it's especially against Jews, because nobody gets higher percentages of high qualifications for the best jobs, the best university positions, scholarships than the Jews, because the Jews are a brilliant people. But they are discriminated against drastically, radically, because of affirmative action. And to show you how crazy they are, they're the first ones to support it. For most of them are the first ones to support affirmative action, even though it hurts their people most of all. Sick, 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 sick. Rabbi Meir Kahana, blessed memory, used to say that Israel is cuckoo land. And he used to say the Jews are sick people. And it's again, the fact that they're so insane and they're so self-hating and they do all these crazy things, this is the miracle. And they survived and they win. You know, if I were a betting person, the Jewish horse is the last horse I would bet on, because it's the horse that always runs in the wrong direction, doesn't run to the finish line, runs in the opposite direction. The Jew is like the guy who catches the football and runs and runs and runs and scores a touchdown for the other team. That's what the Jews always do. That's what our Jewish leaders always do. And they survive? Everybody else passes from history, and no matter what, the Jews survive. And the Jews prosper, and the Jews dominate, no matter what. And how can people see this and not understand that it's so obvious that this is the hand of God? Well, the good news is the self-hating Jews are going to join Ruth Bader Ginsburg eventually. And in Israel, where the majority of Jews are not self-hating Jews, in Israel, in America, the majority of Jews are. But and not all Jews. There are some good Jews in America as well, but the majority of Jews in America are self-hating Jews. In Israel, the majority are not. And in Israel, that majority will eventually wake up and will eventually understand that they're following the phony right now. They think they're right wing, but they're gonna wake up and realize that they're following the phony right. And they're going to do the right thing. And when they wake up, the whole world will turn upside down in a positive way. You'll see a complete change in everything in the world. And HaGeulah, HaShlema, HaSofit, the final and complete redemption will come. Bezrat Hashem, Bimhera V'Yameinu, Amen, Ken Yehi Ratzon. Which means, God willing, it should only happen speedily and in our time. That will eventually happen. That will eventually happen. In the meantime, JTF has a campaign to reach the Jews of Israel with paid advertising. We pay to advertise our Hebrew videos, and thousands of Jews every week are seeing our message. It's not enough. There are over 6 million Jews in Israel. And our message is just for a minute or a minute and a half before they get a commercial from us. They basically see our commercial. That's what they see. So it's not enough, but it's at least someone is telling the truth to the people of Israel. Someone is telling a truth that no one else will tell. And God willing, hopefully that will pave the way, will pave the road for the day when we do have new leadership and new hope. And when the Jewish people do wake up, and then the whole world will be a different world when the Jewish people finally wake up. Imagine a world where instead of the Zuckerbergs and the Ginsbergs and all the other self-hating Bergs, instead of them having so much influence and power, the influence and power will shift to the good Jews, to the righteous, principled, moral Jews. You know what a different world this would be if that happened? If you had good Jews in charge of Facebook and all these other things, can you imagine? And Hollywood and the media, and of course the Jews will be living in Israel, but they will set an example that will influence the rest of the world. Can you imagine what a different world this would be? Someday that's going to happen. I don't know if we're going to live to see it. I mean, I'm almost 64 years old. In December, I'm going to be 64 years old. So I probably won't live to see it. I hope, God willing, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Hashem brings it quickly, and I hope I see it in my lifetime. But regardless, eventually it's going to happen. Hashem has promised us. God has promised that it's going to happen through all the prophets. That's the one message of all the prophets. That day is coming. That day will come. And our job is to bring the truth to people and to pave the road for that day, and to try to be a light in a generation of darkness, because the end days are a period of darkness. The before the light in the morning, you have the darkest period of the night. And that's what we're going through right now, but it won't last forever. And when the final redemption comes, that will last forever. That will last, and it will be the most magnificent thing that anybody has ever seen. So we got some good news with Ruth Bader Ginsburg. That is good news. And we in JTF just wanted you to know why it's good news, because no one else will dare, no other Jewish group would dare say what we say. No one will dare come even close to saying what we say, which is why it's important that we be here. If we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history and make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.